So good afternoon, everyone. So I won't repeat the title. So I first want to thank my co-authors, who are from many places in the world. So I am at the Université Laval in Quebec, and there's people at Imperial College in London, Division of Infectious Disease at St. Michael Hospital in Toronto, Center for Global Public Health at the University of Manitoba, and the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. So in sub-Saharan Africa, 39 of 48 countries are considered as having generalized HIV epidemic based on the 1% prevalence in pregnant women that has been currently used since 2000 to define a generalized epidemic. So when we talk about generalized epidemic, that means, when we look at these recommendations, that you need to equally implement prevention activities for all segments of society. So that has led in these 39 out of 48 countries to a devaluation of the importance of focusing prevention on key populations. However, in the countries who are considered as having concentrated epidemics, that had a major impact in Asia to have focused prevention for key populations. The best examples are Thailand, Cambodia, and India. So the objectives of this study was to explore the rationale for focused HIV programming for female sex workers and their clients in sub-Saharan Africa, and to highlight the limitations of traditional approaches to epidemic appraisal that often underestimate the magnitude and contribution of sex work to local HIV epidemics. So the method was further supplemented literature search, including reports and databases, publication catalogs, systematic reviews, and additional country-specific data, and also to work with deterministic HIV transmission models. That was for limited settings, Cotonou in Benin, Bobo-Dioulasso in Burkina Faso, and Kisumu in Kenya. So basically, it's just to give you an idea on the method for search. So we had different sources to start with, about 212 sources of data on HIV prevalence in sex workers in sub-Saharan Africa. This is just for the HIV prevalence example, and we ended up using 68 sources of data. Okay, this is quite a busy slide, but the first thing to see is that if we look here at women, and we are going from concentrated epidemics, the most concentrated, to the most generalized epidemic in sub-Saharan Africa, you can see that, you know, systematically the prevalence of HIV in sex workers, which is given by the old bar, okay, is much higher than in women from the general population, even in places with extremely generalized epidemics like Swaziland, where the prevalence in general population of women is about 30%. We have something like 70% for sex workers. And it showed that this, even countries like Malawi, which is considered as a highly generalized epidemic with about 10% prevalence in the general population of women, as a prevalence of HIV in female sex workers that is 6 times higher. And it's even more marked in terms of relative differences if we go to more concentrated epidemics, less generalized. For males, there's much less data on clients of sex workers. Maybe it's because it's a more difficult population to access. But when you have, there are also big differences. Look at here at Lesotho, highly generalized epidemic, but you can see that the prevalence in the general population of men is about 15%. It goes to close to 30 if you look at clients of sex workers. And again, if you go to less generalized epidemic, the relative differences are even larger. Okay, so there's no doubt that sex work contributes to HIV spread in sub-Saharan Africa. The FSW client networks are fluid, they are open and connected through sex with the wider community. Understanding of the role of sex work in local African HIV epidemics remains limited because there are limitations in existing surveillance systems, and even more importantly, limitations in existing epidemic appraisal methods. Okay, if we look first at the limitation of existing surveillance system, there's limited representation of female sex workers and clients in most of the existing surveillance systems, and one of the main problems is that the denominators of female sex worker and client, the size of these population, remain uncertain, and also because there's an unclear and broad definitions of sex work limit our ability to distinguish across the spectrum of sex work in sub-Saharan Africa. I will give you some examples of that. So, for example, in Kenya, Okay, if you look at the data from the Demographic and Health Survey in 2009, okay, there would be 218,000 men who paid for sex in the previous years. However, in 2012, there was a very good geographical mapping of sex workers that found over 138,000 sex workers that have 3.5 partners per day. If you're trying to figure out the number of clients in a given year, there's a mistake somewhere. Okay, in Cotonou, Benin, in the same study, in parallel, face-to-face interviews, 1.1% of the women admitted having been paid for sex in the last year. And in pooling boat surveys that are anonymous group interviews, the same figure was 12.2%. What's the right number there? Okay, again, there's a big underestimation of client population size. For example, if you look at Demographic and Health Survey here in Cotonou, Benin, okay, only 0.7% of the men admitted paying for sex in the last year. Okay, whereas if we look at other type of surveys, just 2 years later, 12% admitted so, and 20% using pooling both surveys. And this will lead to gross underestimates. Okay, for example, population attributable fraction, very classic way of computing it without taking into account transmission dynamics, would say that, you know, only 1.4% of the cases of HIV in men from Cotonou are related to having sex with sex workers, whereas at the other end you go to about 50%. So what are the numbers to believe there? Okay, definition of sex work as well. If you look at the definition of sex work by UNAIDS, that is very broad, is individuals who receive money or goods in exchange for sexual services, either regularly or occasionally, and who may or may not consciously define those activities as income generating. So, in the programs in Kenya, okay, they use a definition for formal sex work that is based on an explicit sexual and financial transaction where the provision of sexual services is the primary role of the interaction. Okay, so it's important to understand the diversity of behavior within transactional sex. So, for example, in Benin, okay, formal FSWs, as per the previous definition, they have an average of 15 clients per week. Whereas, for example, barmaids who practice sex work occasionally have one client per week. Okay, in fact, the formal sex workers represent only 1/3 of the women practicing transactional sex, but they have 80% of all clients. Okay. In fact, if you look at a recent published study by Richard White and colleagues at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, modeling 100% condom use interventions for sex workers in Kenya introduced in 2001 would have reduced HIV prevalence by 50% at the population level, but it would have been similar if they would have targeted the 40% most active female sex worker instead of targeting all women practicing transactional sex. Okay, there are big limitations to existing epidemic appraisal methods. The mode of transmission models from UNA is considered current behavior and ignores past and future behavior. So let's say it's important to know that in sub-Saharan Africa, for each client man reporting being a client of sex worker in the previous years, there is 17 to 83 former clients, and that sex workers, the female sex workers, most of them are not sex worker for life. Average duration of sex work is about 5 years. Okay, there are also problems about the classical path that I will skip quickly because in terms of time. Okay, so this one again shows that these mud is the red dots. As you can see, in most places, sex work seems to be not contribute a lot to the transmission of HIV. It's more when you look at the path, okay, the classical path. It can be as high as 50% in some countries. But if you look and you do HIV transmission models, okay, compare to PATH, and you look at the contribution of sex work over a given period to all cases of HIV, if you look at examples from Cotonou, from Bobo-Dioulasso, and from Kisumu, it varies in these places between 60 and 85%. And it showed that Kenya has been considered for a long time as having a highly generalized epidemic, and you can see that over a long period of time, it's still that sex work will be linked to the majority of cases. So, in conclusion, the use of the 1% prevalence proxy for defining generalized epidemic has been detrimental to focused HIV prevention programs in Africa. A new trend towards classifying epidemics based on local HIV transmission dynamics, however, is gaining popularity. For example, now we're talking that for most West African countries of either concentrated or mixed epidemics. Mixed epidemics is the one that is highly driven by key populations, but some transmission in the general population as well. Kenya and Rwanda call themselves now their epidemics as mixed. And I want to say to conclude that scaling up programs for sex workers and clients within the framework of combination prevention is essential to transform HIV from a pandemic levels in Africa to low endemic levels, which is something that we can attain if we really focus our interventions. Thank you.